Welcome, everyone. My name is Eric Miller from Purdue University, working on a master's thesis under the direction of Dr. Camberato and Dr. Bob Nielsen. Today, we're looking at one objective of my research project in identifying relationships between in-status and canopy reflectance in corn using two active optical reflectance sensors. As a little background on these sensors that we used in this project, they are inactive sensors which emit light onto the corn crop canopy and measure the amount of light which is reflected off of that canopy. There's an array of wavelengths used by these sensors to detect the amount of chlorophyll in the crop. Visible wavelengths of red, amber, and red edge, along with near-infrared wavelengths, are used. The light from these active sensors are pulsed at 40,000 hertz and can be distinguished from sunlight, and so these active sensors can be used at any time of the day. The ratio of visible and near-infrared light reflected back into the sensors off the crop's canopy can give us an indication of size and greenness of the crop. Depicted by the schematic below, we see that a crop sensor in the top left and the bank of diodes that are underneath that crop sensor emitting light onto the crop canopy at the bottom, and then the amount of light reflected off of that crop canopy measured back by the crop sensor itself. The crop sensor measurements are interpreted only relative to a insufficient or reference strip of the field. There are several ways of establishing these reference strips near planting time of the corn crop. For this presentation, we're just going to concentrate on an enriched strip, which has a strip of corn that has an unlimited amount of nitrogen applied to it. Acceptance of these crop sensors are low in Indiana. I can count the number of producers that have accepted this technology on one hand. However, we believe that this crop sensor-based nitrogen management will increase if we can predict an end requirement with at a growth stage of corn small enough to use traditional side dress nitrogen application equipment, rather than a high clearance equipment, which is not as readily available amongst producers and also is very expensive. So the objective of this research is to determine the earliest growth stage of corn that end differences occur and can be detected with active optical reflectance sensors and different high end rich application methods. The project was established in 2010 in Northwest Indiana and continued through 2011 at the Penny Purdue Ag Center. Soils at this location are a seawall silt loam with approximately 3.5% organic matter. Corn was planted into a soybean stubble under conventional tillage. Corn plots are 12 or 18 rows in width with row spacings of 76 centimeters. Plot length is 90 meters and replicated three times. A single hybrid was planted in each year with a relative maturity of 109 days at a population of 83,000 plants per hectare. Starter fertilizer was applied to the entire experiment at 27 kilograms of N per hectare, including the starter-only control. The high-end rich strip application methods included a total amount of N applied at 251 kilograms of N per hectare. Two of these methods were applied 7 to 9 days prior to planting using banded anhydrous ammonia along with broadcast and incorporated urea ammonium nitrate. The same day as planting, a banded urea ammonium nitrate application went on directly between the planted corn rows using RTK equipment. Reflectance measurements were collected using two commercially available crop sensors, the Crop Circle 210 from Holland Scientific and the GreenSeeker RT200. Difference between the two sensors being the visible wavelength used. The Crop Circle uses an amber 590 nanometer wavelength for the visible, where the GreenSeeker uses a visible red at 650 nanometers and slightly different near-infrared wavelength bands. At each year, reflectance measurements were made four times in the early vegetative growth stages. In 2010 at V4, V7, V8, and V10, and in 2011, V4, V7, V9, and V12. Reflectance measurements were collected from two corn rows, the entire length of each plot, and the calculated indices were both chlorophyll index and NDVI. Plant samples were collected in conjunction with the reflectance measurements throughout the growing season from two or three 1.8 meter sections of row, approximately 12 plants per 1.8 meter section. Samples were dried and analyzed for dry matter and in concentration, to determine total in content of the plant. To compare all the sensors together using two different indices and two different sensors, we have four possible combinations. We pooled all the reflectance data for the means of each plot and used a simple linear regression to look at how well correlated GreenSeeker chlorophyll index was to the Crop Circle chlorophyll index. Same was used for the NDVI of both the GreenSeeker and the Crop Circle. We found a very good relationship when pooling those together. Same can be said for using a linear regression to look at the correlation of NDVI and chlorophyll index with the same sensors. So to simplify this presentation, we're going to look at just the GreenSeeker NDVI sensor data when we compare to the plant data. In this figure, we're going to look at both the in content of the plants collected along with the GreenSeeker NDVI for each plot or each treatment, excuse me. On the primary y-axis, we have in content of the plants. On the x-axis, we have growth stage that we collected these reflectance measurements and plant measurements throughout the growing season, and on the secondary y-axis, we have the GreenSeeker NDVI values. Each group of vertical bars are the growth stages, with four bars in each group, indicating on the far left are pre-plant banded anhydrous ammonia. Second was the pre-plant broadcast and incorporated UAN, along with the post-plant banded urea ammonium nitrate and our starter-only control on the far right for each group of bars. As we look at the red bars, the lowermost section of these is the total N content. Letters that correspond with these bars are the mean separations at an alpha of 0.05 for each timing. At V4 and V7, we see irregular mean separations for N content in these plants, whereas from V8 to V10, all high reference application methods separated out from the starter-only control. Looking at the GreenSeeker NDVI, the blue bars of this graph, we see that similar to the plant data, that differences between the high reference strip application methods were not different until the V8 growth stage. We began to see, could identify differences in NDVI from the starter-only control from the growth stage V8 and forward. Same type of graph for 2011. At V4 and V7 for plant content, the red bars, we see the same sort of trend, very erratic means of plant content for those treatments. Not until the growth stage V9 to V12, several weeks after planting, that we can start to identify nitrogen content differences between the starter-only control and the high reference application methods. For Greenseeker NDVI, we see sort of the same thing. We are able to identify differences from the growth stage V9 and forward compared to the starter-only control. It's worth noting that for the V7 growth stage, we see a trend for the banded anhydrous ammonia having lower nitrogen content. We think that there is some amount of toxicity to the seedlings at that lower, earlier growth stages, and we conclude that the anhydrous ammonia is a poor choice as high reference strip application method. So in conclusion, the two sensors correlated well with each other, independent of reflectance index. And at V4 and V7, the reference strip established methods had no effect or a detrimental effect on plant end content, 11 of the 12 comparisons to the starter-only control. By definition, these were not useful in identifying end stress. Later, the two later growth stages, starting at V8, continuing out to V12, all three reference strips establishment methods increased plant end content equally in comparison to the starter-only control. And also, the sensors detected the increased plant end content resulting from the end strip application in comparison to the starter-only control. I'd like to take any questions now. Yes, sir. There was a large response. The question was, if I have this right, at the earlier growth stages, there was not what looked to be any end deficiencies, and he was curious if that continued on throughout the growing season. All three high reference application methods seemed to be the same throughout the growing season. They were similar in yield and plant content throughout the growing season, but the deficiency in the starter-only control began around V8 and continued throughout maturity.
And how much yield difference was there between that starter-only control and the
other? About 7 megagrams per hectare. Yes, sir. No, each active sensor that we used just had a visible wavelength of amber and red. We do not have the newer 470 that has the red edge wavelength.
You mentioned that it was following, this was corn following soybeans, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Did you have any measure of available nitrogen at the end of the growing season?
His question was, is we have any residual nitrogen at the beginning of growing season? Yes, we collected soil samples down to a depth of 1 meter, but that data has not been ran analysis on. There was some amount. Total end content for the starter-only control ended up being nearly 150 kilograms of N per hectare, and we only applied 27. So there was some amount of nitrate left in the soil, and also a high amount of mineralization throughout the growing season. Thank you very much.